Good morning, everybody. I've got about 150 slides I'm going to cover in 15 minutes, so hold on tight. I'm here to talk about our Healthy Virginia Lawns program, and it's not necessarily the direct impacts of this program that I want to be the take-home message for you today. I will share a little bit of data from 2016 to show that it is having an impact, but make sure you pick up on what the underlying message is in this talk. So this gives you the long title, which is too much to read, but the key here that I want to focus on is there's a partnership here of multiple entities to accomplish something specific, and the process by which we went to get to the impacts is what I'm going to talk about. So that's the nexus of where all of these players kind of come together. So Chesapeake Bay Watershed covers parts of six states in the eastern U.S. and all of the District of Columbia. And why we're here to talk is this satellite image right here. That's runoff going into the Chesapeake Bay. Here's a little bit closer picture of what that has looked like in the past. And for those of you that aren't on the East Coast, you may be wondering, well, you know, why is this even important? It is the largest estuary in the continental U.S. It has the highest person to waterfront ratio of any other estuary. So land use has a dramatic impact on a very important ecological feature of our eastern U.S. It covers 64,000 square miles. Currently, it has over 17 million people residing within the watershed, and by 2020, it's estimated that that will jump to 20 million. It is impaired by excessive nutrients and sediment. The nutrients are nitrogen and phosphorus. Some states are already implementing much the way that Florida has on the no phosphorus fertilizers. So it is having an impact on the people that we work with and provide information to in the green industry. And then in 2009, President Obama issued Executive Order 13508 that is requiring nutrient reductions within the Chesapeake Bay. It is not a suggestion. It is a mandatory thing. But even though it's mandatory right now, participation is voluntary by the states currently. And I'll get into that a little bit more in just a second. The EPA, so our federal partners, have issued total maximum daily loads for streams. There's over 100,000 streams within the Chesapeake Bay watershed. So there have been TMDLs issued for a majority of those. And look at a TMDL, if you're not familiar with that acronym, as a pollution diet. So there is only a certain limit to which we can pollute our waterways. Sounds kind of backwards, right? Well, that's just the way that we put it in context for people to understand. Within Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, our Department of Conservation and Recreation is the one that kind of manages nutrient management processes within the state, both on the agricultural side and on the urban side. Right now, I mentioned that the reductions in runoff, in nutrients, sediment is voluntary. Ag has taken a bad rap for this, I'll be honest. They have done the most work in reducing nutrient runoff and sedimentation into streams, but they're the ones that are viewed as the bad guys in all of this unnecessarily. It really is the urban sector, which is what I'm here to talk about, that is the main contributor to the problems that we have, but it gets the least amount of attention. So there's a lot that goes into that as well. So right now, there's very little attention given to the urban player within this whole urban nutrient management process. That is beginning to change, and that's why I'm here to talk today. There was a mandate within Virginia that state-owned properties had to be placed under a nutrient management plan that can be evaluated and verified. Within the Chesapeake Bay model, those numbers go in, and it tells us how well we're doing toward reducing and meeting those goals that were set in the 2009 executive order. And a few years ago, a colleague from the Department of Conservation and Recreation approached our office to see how master gardeners could help contribute to the reductions, at least in the urban environment, particularly with consumers. So there's two of the players right there, the consumers and the state agency that is responsible for managing urban nutrient management. So this is not a new program to Extension. Several of these programs existed prior to me going to Virginia, some of them as early as 1990. So we have at least 6 to 8 programs that have been around for over 2 decades dealing with urban nutrient management with homeowners through how folks manage their landscapes, specifically their lawns, but it does include anything within the managed landscape today. So So the question is, so what? We identified the units that currently have nutrient management programs to bring them together to try to create a statewide overarching initiative that would deal with this whole urban nutrient management program and give the DCR a leg up in making the reports to EPA that, yes, Virginia is playing along and we are making a difference in meeting these goals that have been set for nutrient and sediment reductions. So we had some centralized meetings that were facilitated. You see the list of players there. So everything from extension administrators to field faculty, some of our extension master gardener volunteers, and two staff folks from the Department of Conservation and Recreation that are on the urban nutrient management team. We discussed the detailed procedures that each unit follows in implementing their program locally, because if you stepped back and looked at each program, there were some common elements, but there were also some very distinct differences between how each of the programs were implemented and what they reported and how they handled working with the homeowners. So we wanted to create a cohesive unit at the state level so that we could kind of aggregate those impacts and show the EPA even more so how the urban sector was addressing this whole nutrient management issue. So this is just a list of the programs, again, going back to the early to mid-90s, all the way up to current. This shows you the geography of where those are located. So the Chesapeake Bay watershed accounts for 75% of our state. So essentially this area here, this side over here, believe it or not, is Gulf of Mexico. This section down here is Albemarle Sound. So, statewide context. We had these facilitated meetings. Things were going really, really well. All the units were sharing the information. The local agents that had been running these programs for a number of years were talking about the things that were successful for them, the things that they would do different if they had the chance to start it all over again. And there was buy-in, except when it came to the name of the program. So if you noticed one of the earlier slides, each unit had a different name for the program. So they had very strong local brand identity. Most folks understood that it was an extension program, but how do we bring that together under a statewide initiative? And this is kind of when the clause came out, literally. That's not supposed to be in there. That's not supposed to be in there. I gave you the wrong one. Oh, well. I couldn't decide whether it was a Chuck Norris kind of day or not, but anyway. So this whole idea of program entrenchment, all of these agents, and this wasn't a negative. They had strong loyalty to the programs that they were doing because they were having real measurable impacts in their community. And this is not a joke. We were at a meeting that almost came to physical blows between the agent, one of the agents and the facilitator, because they didn't feel like their voice was being heard, even though they had been being heard. So it almost led to an HR situation. It's the first in my entire career. It was different. Everybody's safe now is all I can say. Okay, so what was the lesson from that? You know, here we were. We had a state partner that had a specific name that they wanted to go with, because if you are familiar at the national level, at the National Arboretum, there is a turf program called Grassroots. Well, two of our programs were called Grassroots, so it was a natural thing for the state agency to say, hey, why don't we just call it Grassroots? That pairs us with our federal partners. We'll all be one big happy family, and it'll be great. Well, there was a lot of territoriality between the programs that had the Grassroots name and those that didn't. And that's when the clause started coming out. So we had to back up from that. Things had been going really well, but that process, that point in the process, almost derailed the entire thing. So the facilitator was familiar with an organization based out of Maryland. Their bread and butter is doing opinion polling for politicians. I mean, that's how they support themselves. But we hired that organization to come in and help us do some social marketing studies to figure out what's really going to resonate with the public. And this way, it's not derived from internally, and it's totally neutral from what everybody else had proposed. So I'm going to speed up. We did a public survey, went out to almost 900 people. We also did two focus groups. Okay, I am really going to go fast. If you want to see these later, talk to me later. The information on the slide's not important. This is just showing the process of working with that social marketing group. So these are the names that we came up with internally. We have internal language within our extension culture. Those of you that are out there know what I'm talking about that have extension appointments. This is what made sense to us. So we've tested those names, and here's, pay attention to the green bar. Healthy lawns, healthy lawns, healthy lawns, back here, Virginia lawns. What seems to fit? The Virginia Cooperative Extension Lawn Care Program. Okay, pick up the phone and say that when you're identifying yourself. No, that's not going to happen. So these were the names that were narrowed down within the focus groups. So you can see healthy lawns, healthy turf. That really long, obnoxious one is in there. And so this is what we went with. We brought these names back to the agents that had literally been almost at blows and gave them a chance to vote on this. Okay, I'm going to digress for a second. Are you familiar with the three-finger voting method for consensus? One finger, I'm on board. Two fingers, you got some convincing. Three fingers, no, I'm not in favor of it. Okay, we did that back before we did the social marketing, and the one-finger vote became a very different finger when they were voting. So what were the findings? The word turf did not resonate well with our focus groups, and here's why. This is what it made people feel like when they heard that word. Again, I can't stay here, but lawn, something green and beautiful, soft to walk on. It signifies that it's green and it's my home. Okay? Place. This is important to people. Yard. Suggests family. Yeah, that's good. Grass. There are a lot of connotations that can come along with that one since we're here in Hawaii, but we won't go there. Virginia, again, this was specific to our state, but think about this for a second. There is a lot, every state has pride, but I'm not a native Virginian. I've lived there for almost 15 years. There is a deep sense of pride within the people that live there, and that came out in this focus group. So it sounds neighborly, homey, accessible, sense of belonging, evokes pride and a sense of heritage. So now we have the input from the focus group. The agents came back and voted, and we came up with a specific identifiable logo and name. We've created some materials for them to take. I've got to speed up. This was the logo that we came up with. Healthy Virginia Lawns is the program. It's a program of cooperative extension, but our partners, again, are Department of Conservation and Recreation, and ultimately it's the EPA. It's flow-through dollars. This is our public website. So the public has an opportunity to go in and learn about it. We've been promoting this at our state fair for 2 years in a row right now. This is our internal website where agents can go and get all the resources that were created for the program, including this brochure that's customizable for their locality. This is intended to be a full-color trifold that gives local contact information. How much time do I have? 2 minutes? Okay, this video is 1 minute long, so we're going to watch it and I'm done. Or maybe not. Okay. So, I've still got 2 minutes. We created a 1 minute video, that is intended for public, broadcast for folks to understand what, HVL, Healthy Virginia Lawns is. We created an internal one that's about 4 minutes long that our extension agents can show the Extension Master Gardener volunteers to see if it's something that they would be interested in doing. Now what? We've done a couple of in-service trainings. We've created 4 new units with the program, and they have this turnkey product that they can go and pick up every piece that they need to be able to participate and provide reportable data to DCR that goes into the Chesapeake Bay model for the Commonwealth of Virginia that gives us credit for the reductions that our homeowners are doing at the local level. This is just the 2016 data, and when you look at 294 acres, that's peanuts, no pun intended since I'm from Virginia, but that's peanuts in comparison to the ag acreage. But when you look at it from a homeowner's perspective, it's over 12 million square feet of turf that's under a nutrient management plan. And the in-kind value just for 2016 was almost $95,000. So that's a number that we can take back to our funders and say, for every dollar that you're giving us, we're giving you this much in return, and it's making a difference. So what's next? We've got two more watersheds that we have to deal with. You know, the Gulf of Mexico, that's another pretty big one. Additional partners, we've been partnering up with our soil water conservation districts and creating joint positions for those two groups. And we have two localities that are being funded through their stormwater management funds that, again, are coming from federal sources. So that's the logo, that's our contact, and I'm done. So.